WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
In honor of the 25th anniversary of the end of the war in Vietnam, we're hearing from artists who interpreted the war. The movie Platoon is considered by many to be the film that best conveyed what it felt like to be a grunt in Vietnam. Although the film was enough to discourage anyone from fighting in a jungle war, the movie's writer and director, Oliver Stone, enlisted and asked to fight back in 1967. He won a Purple Heart. Stone drew on his Vietnam experiences again to direct Born on the 4th of July, the story of veteran Ron Kovic. His other films include Wall Street, The Doors, JFK, and Any Given Sunday. Let's start with a clip from Platoon. Charlie Sheen plays a soldier who's just arrived in Vietnam. This is a letter to his grandmother.
Somebody once wrote, "Hell is the impossibility of reason." That's what this place feels like, hell. I hate it already, and it's only been a week. The hardest thing I think I've ever done is go on point 3 times this week. I don't even know what I'm doing. A gook could be standing 3 feet in front of me, and I wouldn't know it. I'm so tired. We get up at 5 a.m., hump all day, camp around 4 or 5, dig a foxhole, eat, then put out an all-night ambush or a 3-man listening post in the jungle. It's scary because nobody tells me how to do anything because I'm new. Nobody cares about the new guys. They don't even want to know your name. The unwritten rule is a new guy's life isn't worth as much because he hasn't put his time in yet. And they say if you're going to get killed in the NAM, it's better to get it in the first few weeks. The logic being, you don't suffer that much. If you're lucky, you get to stay in the perimeter at night, and then you pull a 3-hour guard shift. So maybe you sleep 3-4 hours a night, but you don't really sleep.
Charlie Sheen in Oliver Stone's film Platoon. I spoke with Stone in 1990.
The main character in Platoon drops out of college, and his analytical reason that he gives one of the soldiers who thinks that, you know, he's crazy for being this middle class kid in the war. So the reason the Charlie Sheen character gives is, you know, why should only the poor people fight? What was your reason for enlisting?
Well, that was part of it. I felt a sense of that it was a wrong, the war was somehow wrongly fought. If only, if you could go to college to escape it. That if a war should be a democratic country, supposedly, therefore it should be fought along democratic principles. That means everybody goes, including senators' sons and the bankers' sons. And I think that very deeply bothered my sense of idealism about this country. And I did feel an obligation that I had to serve. I left Yale University and... There were other reasons, too. It wasn't just a sense of idealism. And there was personally, I did feel obligated. I wanted to see the war. I wanted to see war as a concept because I'd read about it in books and Hemingway. And I have to admit, it had a romantic appeal to me. And I knew it was going to be the last war of my generation, and I wanted to be there. I wanted to be part of the passion and peril of our times, as Oliver Wendell Holmes said, you know.
How soon did it lose that romantic appeal?
First day in the bush, you know, I cut point, I think, in the 25th, they put up the new guys right up, like in the movie. And I think I lost that sense of, you know, it was pretty, it was clear to me in the first few days that the guys there were not really fighting for an objective or with any kind of morale. They were fighting just to count the days until they left. So everybody in the unit would have, I got 85 days to go, I got 165 days to go. You know, everybody would talk about the days left, which is not the right way to really fight a war.
Your father was a stockbroker. You'd gone to prep school in Yale. Were your parents pleased that you had enlisted? Is that what they wanted for you?
No, they were horrified. Dad was a big believer in fighting communism, and until they took his own son, you know, he didn't. No, they thought I should stay in college. I was crazy to give that up.
Was there an element of rebellion against your parents,
of course,
in the act of enlisting?
That was probably the third part of the whole thing. Was that it was something that they didn't want me to do. Therefore, I had to do it because, to be honest. I'd had it with my parents, you know, I'd had it with that whole way of life. Something was wrong in the American system that as I had been educated to, and I think I was turning my back on the world as I knew it. I knew that it was, I didn't know what else there was, but I knew what I didn't want, which was to become some version of what my father was. since then, I've grown to respect him enormously for what he's done, mm-hmm. and to see the things he went through and understand better. But at that time, I was pretty angry.
Were you a physical person, and did you feel like that you could handle yourself well physically when you got to Vietnam?
I thought I could. Yeah, I was a good athlete, and I did learn. Ultimately, at first, I don't think anybody's a great soldier right off the bat. I mean, combat conditions are so intense and unplanned for that you never can tell what's going to happen. And I got shot the first time in a major, in my first night ambush, I got shot, and then I got shot a second time. After that, I got pretty smart in a bush, and I could move well without being hurt. I was carrying a lot of weight. I would carry 60, 70 pounds, or sometimes less. And, you know, but there was no question that the NVA, the North Vietnamese Army, were probably the best light infantry, you know, up to that time. I mean, there were great soldiers, too. And I'm not saying we were bad. I think that we did a good job, but we were up against people that could travel very light, you know, eat rice and didn't need hot baths or showers and didn't need hot food. You know, they lived close to the ground. We had too much. In Vietnam, we had too many support troops. It was 6 or 7 to 1. You know, we had too much rear echelon. It was, you know, I think the war, if assuming that it was going to be fought, and I don't think it should have, but it should have been fought more in a commando-style way, Israeli army kind of way.
What was the feeling about being in a jungle war that you most wanted to communicate in platoon?
Point of view, the subjectivity, the sense of fear and chaos that you can understand what war really is, the confusion, the fact that maybe 20% of what happens in the people who get killed in a war get killed by their own friendly fire, the sense of fear and panic, and heroism too. There's daily acts of heroism. There's a bonding between the men. There was very much a split in Vietnam that I noticed. I was in four different platoons. I was in the 1st Cav and the 25th. And in all platoons, there was like a mini civil war going on. There was sort of the people that kind of believed in it, and the lifers, and then the people that, you know, were just draftees. There was the guys who smoked a little pot, and there were guys who drank too much. There was guys who liked Smokey Robinson. There was guys who liked country music. But there was generally a political split, you know. There was a certain element of racism, mm-hmm. very strong racism towards the Orientals. From portions of the platoon, you know, that they were less than human. And a lot of the other guys were more tolerant and humanitarian. So I found that interesting. I kind of thought that it reflected, in some ways, the split I saw in the United States when I went back to the country.
The kind of confusion that you're talking about in the middle of a jungle war, you captured that both in platoon and in Born on the 4th of July. Can you talk a little bit about choreographing a scene so that what you get watching it is the sense of confusion of not knowing, not being able to see, yeah. not knowing whose fire you're in the middle of or who you're firing at. But from your perspective as a director, everything has to be completely controlled to communicate that confusion.
Well, it's very important to show that confusion. Very important. You do not see the enemy very often. In fact, in the movies that I made, you see them a little too much uh-huh. because I always had to, you know, I have to compromise to some degree with the needs of an audience, but it's even more difficult to see them.
In real life, the tendency
in a movie is to bring somebody who's firing at you a little closer to camera so that you can at least see some outlines. In real life, it was probably more invisible and dirtier and even more surprising. And death is even worse than it is on the screen. I mean, death is so, you know, it's pretty ugly. And it smells bad, too. I got Dale Dye to work with me. He's an ex-Marine, and he was real helpful. You know, we'd walk the terrain, and you basically plot it out, do your homework. But we kept it spontaneous. We had a terrific cameraman, Bob Richardson. We had some great Steadicam operating. We did Bourne. We did completely different than Platoon.
What were the differences?
I wanted to go with a beach. I wanted to go with a yellow, blinding sky, because I worked up in the 1st Cav, up in the beach areas in the North 1st Corps. And I remember patrolling those beaches, and there were little dangers there that you don't get in the jungle. And the sense of the sun, it reminded me of Camus' Stranger, and that Kovic would lose it, you know, he would just lose it in the sun and shoot his own man, you know, because he'd be blinded by the sunspots. And sort of the panic, that crazy intent. You know, you don't, when the bullet flies, you're everything, the same, the human beings all respond the same. The eyes tighten, the brains kind of go dead a little bit. You don't think that much, you know, when you're under fire. So we tried to do Bourne real different than Platoon because people had seen a lot of the jungles. I think that's one of the things I'm real proud of in Bourne is the ocean and the beach and the village.
Is there any one story that you would always tell the actors who you worked with in those movies about what the war was like?
No, we put them through training. And
right.
It was important that they not sleep. I remember in Platoon, and we put them through 12 days with Di up in the Philippine bush. And I really insisted. I said, I don't want this well-slept look that I see in war movies. I want these guys to look tired and beaten. And you can't fake that for some reason. You can't put makeup under their eyes. You got to give them a sense of what it's like not to sleep for a year. You don't sleep at Nam. You get three hours if you're lucky, and 2 hours here, but you're always sleeping with radar on. So that's where you get that kind of vacant look. So we put him in the bush, and we worked him around the clock. We made him, you know, pull guard duty and sentry duty all night, and they came out. They were so angry and irritable. That's the irritability of infantry all over the world at any time. It's a given. And I think we caught that, and the guys got it. But you can never teach an actor exactly what it's like, you know. But they are very imaginative actors, and they are able to cross that gulf and imagine. But there's no substitute for actually being there.
Director Oliver Stone, recorded in 1990. Coming up, Maya Lin, the designer of the Vietnam Veterans Memorial in Washington, D.C. This is Fresh Air.